Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
WWE Ringside Factor today with Grandpa and the Kid. Grandpa, what's going on, man?
Not much. We're not in our usual spot today, but we're going to bring you the show anyway. We're out here at the hospital. My co-host just had a new baby brother, so we're out here at the waiting room, and we're doing the show live from out here. So have a good day.
Yeah. Guys, today we're going to be having a short show. One, a lot wasn't happening on Raw and SmackDown this week. It kind of let us down a lot. Two, like you said, I just had a new brother, Brian Evans from Two Guys in a Balcony, just had a kid. So if you guys want, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, call in and wish him good luck with that. Well, I don't know if you really want to say luck, but...
You may want to clarify that. Brian didn't actually have the kid, but, you know,
yeah,
he's a new dad.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting to our show today. SmackDown, there wasn't a lot that happened on. There was a few good matches. Raw had a few more, but when it started out this week, it was pretty funny because... Dean Ambrose, he was in the back and he was walking around and his phone rang and he answers and it's Kurt. So he gets on there and he's talking to him and everything and Kurt lets him know that he wants him to be the manager that night on Raw. So Ambrose is, you know, pretty excited and everything. Well, he heads out towards the ring and he's talking about some stuff and of course then Miz comes out with his sidekick, and they're out there, and Stephanie makes Miz the co-host, so we have...
Oh, Stephanie's back, finally?
Well, she wasn't there, but he said that she called him and had an important conversation, so it was probably, hey, will you do it, and that's it. And so we had Ambrose and... Miz being the co-host of the show, which was interesting to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. Because, wouldn't Dean have the final say-so and everything, though?
Well, no, because the way it went, went back and forth, but Dean got Miz right off the bat because Miz was talking about this and that and his usual, you know, which nobody listens to much anyway. And so Ambrose made a match between him and Finn Balor, and Miz wasn't too happy about that, but, you know, it happened anyway. So every time Miz fights, he's not too happy about it. I don't know why he's in wrestling, but it was actually a pretty good match. It was going back and forth for a while, and Finn got in some good shots, and then Miz was down towards the edge of the ring there, and, of course, Maryse pulled him out of the ring and everything, and, you know, it's how she usually helps him out, so that's about normal. Whenever you fight Miz, you fight her, too, so, you know, it always ends about the same, but... It was a pretty good match. Baylor got a couple good kicks in. He flipped back one time, and the way he flipped, it was nailed Miz right in the face with a polo kick. And Miz went over the top rope, and, I mean, that was pretty good. And then Miz tried to get the match thrown out because he threw Finn Balor into an official. And since he made contact with the official, they was going to say, you know, it's disqualification. So Miz starts walking away like it's over. Well, Ambrose comes out and tells him, no, the match ain't going to end like this. So he starts it again, and Finn comes up from behind and nails him. So he Miz got a little more than he was bargaining for.
So Miz gave himself a match.
Well, Miz didn't. Ambrose put him in it.
But wasn't Miz the co-host?
Well, he was the co-host. But Ambrose had one later too. So, I mean, you know, they both fought. So, I guess if one would have done it, the other one wouldn't have, then that wouldn't have been too good. But since they both fought, I don't, you know, it worked out okay, I guess.
Right.
Then the match was over, there was, you know, how Miz always has to mouth off and he done his usual stuff after the match and then he left. But then in the second match was Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James, and that was actually a lot better match than I thought it was going to be, because sometimes Alexa Bliss just gets in there and she don't, you know, hardly do nothing except yell at people and stuff like that and whine and stuff. But this was actually a pretty good match. It went back and forth for a while, and then most of the match, you know, Mickie had, but then towards the end of it, I can't remember exactly what move it was now, but Alexa ended up winning it. And then after the match was done and everything, she was down, and Nia come in and puts Mickie in the corner and then drops an elbow and you know, rang her bell pretty good. And then after that match, Miz came out and told Ambrose that he was going to be facing Bray Wyatt later in the night. So I don't know if Ambrose was, you know, too excited about it or not, but he didn't gripe or anything. So he went ahead and done it and pretty much got it over with. But it was a pretty good match. And of course, in between the stuff, Samoa Joe came out again like he usually does.
Runs his mouth.
Yeah.
Best thing Samoa has ever done.
Yeah.
Not the 75-year career, but runs his mouth.
That's about what it seems like. And then at the end of it, they bring him over to the main stage, which I couldn't figure out. I thought he was fine where he was at.
Right. And then, of course, after that, you had Braun and Kalisto.
Yeah, now that one, Braun got himself into, because he was talking about how his arm was hurt and everything. And Kurt wasn't there, but he said, since Kurt ain't there, he went out and talked to Ambrose and Miz, and he said that when his arm healed, he wanted a shot. He was going to finish Reigns off, and then after that, he was going after Lesnar. And then Kalisto came out and was griping about it. And he goes, well, before you do that, I have some business to finish with you. And so he goes and he mouths off to Kalisto. And he said, I told you, I'm not fighting tonight. My arm is messed up. He goes, besides, I don't even need it. I can beat you with one arm. So after he said that, of course, Ambrose made the match. And, of course, Braun was griping, and he said, well, you said you could beat him with one arm, so that's what you're going to do. And it went from there.
Moxley won the match.
It, well, Strowman won it, but it was
by disqualification.
Yeah, it wasn't really. I don't know. I guess it was a decent match. I've seen better ones, but you know, sometimes with Strowman, they just sort of. I think they use him sometimes just for a fill-in. I don't know, but sometimes he has real good matches, and other times it's just, you know, they throw something together, I think.
Okay. So, tag team turmoil, which if you guys know anything about this, you have two guys starting, and then whoever wins that match, the losers leave, winners stay, and they start another match. And this goes on for like 4 or 5 matches.
Yeah.
This time it went on for 4. And we started out with Sheamus and Cesaro versus Enzo and Cass. Who do you think you had? Who do you think had it?
Well, off the bat, I didn't know if Cesaro and Sheamus would win, if that's who I was going for, which they did end up winning. But I thought they may have a little more trouble with Cass than they did, but they seemed to take him out pretty good. And Enzo done a little better than I thought he was going to do, too. So about after the first couple minutes, I wasn't really too sure about it. But, you know, like I said, Sheamus and Cesaro won it, so they went on to the next match. And it was a pretty good match. So it went back and forth for a few, and there were some nice shots put in. And Sheamus got a few brogue kicks in, and Kaz, though, I can't remember if it was Sheamus or Cesaro, one of them, because they just tagged and came in, but he got a power slam on one of them, and it was bad. He definitely put some weight behind it.
Well, you can't not put weight behind it when you're like 400 pounds.
It was a good slam. He nailed it.
All right. So you got a little, going a little off topic here. So Gallows and Anderson versus Samson Cesaro.
Yeah, now that match I thought was going to be a lot more, I guess I could say, intense than it was. It was good, but I don't know. It just didn't look like, not that I'm a Gallows or Anderson fan, but they just didn't look like they usually do when they fight. It didn't look like they were as much into it as they usually are. It was a good match, but it just wasn't as good as they usually have. And, you know, since we told you that Sheamus and Cesaro won the last one, and they whoever wins keeps going, they ended up winning this one, too, and they moved on to face
Goldust
and R-Truth.
Golden Truth.
Yeah. Which, it was actually a better match than I thought it was going to be. It started out a little slow, but then it picked up, and it sort of went back and forth, and it was pretty good. I mean, there was some spots where you had to smack yourself to wake up, but besides that, it turned out pretty decent. And there was a couple times I thought that they were going to actually pull it off, because Goldust got a couple good moves in, and he almost pinned Sheamus twice, and it turned into a lot better match. I actually liked that match better than the Gallows and Anderson match. But Sheamus and them pulled that one off. And then they went on to the next match, and after that they became the contenders, so they've got themselves setting pretty good now.
All right. Was there anything else that happened on Raw?
Well, Samoa Joe and Rollins fought. That's getting to be about as bad as the little
Braun and Roman.
Well, Braun and Roman, or Miz, and it's once they get a storyline, they, you know. And now that, well, speaking of storylines, the look at the one with Owens and all of them, I mean, that's going to turn into a major thing, too. It's just, of course, Owens and Sammy's been going at each other for a while now. And now it's Owens and AJ Styles, because AJ's going to fight him for the title coming up. And after that happens, it'll probably go back and forth between them for a while, you know. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with the storylines, but sometimes they need to change them up a little bit instead of having the same thing week in and week out. I think it'd help a little bit.
Yeah. Like, look at how many times we've seen have those storylines. Yeah. Look at how many times we've seen the Stone Cold Vince McMahon storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've got some. They just play in the ground. It gets old. But, well, yeah, that's like in the old days when you brought up McMahon, where it was Triple H and Mr. Michaels impersonating the McMahons all the time and this and that. And, you know, that was funny once in a while, but it went on quite a long time and, you know, it got a little old after a while. Even though when they impersonated him, it was pretty funny when they had the wigs and the suits and everything on.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I remember one time they blew up a limo. Another time a bus got messed up. They had a few different things go on. It was pretty... Well, that's like when you was talking about the... When you said something about Reigns and Roman, or Reigns and Braun, that's like the episode about four episodes ago where he flipped the ambulance over. I mean, you know, that you got to be a little realistic. I mean, people know it's made up, but I'm sorry, even if that ambulance was stripped, Braun ain't going to pick that thing up and flip it on its side like he did. That's a little too much weight there, buddy.
I could do it with the smart car.
Well, the smart car, maybe, yeah.
Those things weigh like 25 pounds. No, I want to go out and try that.
And then Joe got Seth a couple real good ones. As a matter of fact, there for a while, Joe pretty much controlled the match, and he drops Rollins this one time, and when he hit, I know when they hit, there's, you know, they got certain ways to land, but this one time Rollins landed, it just didn't look right, and he got right back up from it, so I guess everything was cool, you know.
Well, I mean, so did Kevin. He was out for, what, 6 months?
Yeah. But then he put
So I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't hear any bad news from Seth.
He put Seth in a suplex, and when he put him in the suplex, he nailed him because he done it to the outside of the ring on the floor from up on the apron, and it was a pretty nice slam. So, you know, stuff like that's good to see once in a while, just see if they're still doing, you know, can still do their moves and stuff. and then Seth put a Falcon Arrow on Joe, and Joe kicked out, and Seth hits, you know, the exposed turnbuckle because he was holding on to the turnbuckle one time because Joe had him when he was trying to stretch him out, and he thinks he was going for his knee. So when he held on to the turnbuckle, it pulled off. And, of course, Joe slammed him into it two or three times. And that's, you know, pretty much how he won, by banging him off the turnbuckle. So, because it was exposed and everything. But, yeah, Joe's a decent wrestler. He just, I don't know, he reminds me of Kevin Owens. He's more worried about talking and yelling and telling everybody stuff instead of just going out and wrestling, which a lot of them do. So, you know, you can't just say it's one or two people.
All right. Okay.
So, Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose. Did Dean put himself in another match?
No, I told you he got put in that by Miz.
Okay.
Because when he put Miz in the match to start against Baylor, later on Miz put him in that one, I guess.
I don't see why Dean wouldn't put Miz up against someone tougher than Baylor. Like, I'm sitting here trying to punish someone. I'm going to put him against Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman.
Well, it's probably because of the stuff that they've been going through here lately. And besides, Reigns shouldn't have fought last night, but he came out and cleaned Braun's clock, man. It wasn't a match, but Braun pretty much said that Roman didn't have the nads to come out and face him. Roman came out all bandaged stuff, and by the time he was done, Braun was the one that needed bandaged stuff. He beat the out of him. he dropped him like a Twinkie seat. But the match between Bray and Dean, though, it was a pretty good match. He got Dean in a couple Sister Abigails, and then, of course, that was the main event, but he hit Ambrose one time with his clothesline, and it looked like it was going to rip his head off. I mean, he nailed him. It was a hard hit. And I can't remember when it was, but he had Dean down and got a two count on him. Then Ambrose came back with this really good move and nailed Bray, and thought it was going to be pretty much over with that, but then it went on for a while longer. And sometimes when they hit new moves, you think it's done and over with, and then they come back and make it last for a while. But yeah, it was pretty good, but Ambrose got nailed by Miz with the belt from behind, and Bray won the match with Miz's help, because, you know, Miz is going to be facing Dean here pretty soon, so he wants to try to get every shot he can in to weaken him up and stuff. So, and then he come out and he nailed Dean. After it was over, he got in the ring and started beating on him and stuff. And, you know, I think I'd be more worried about Maurice smacking me than Miz. I just think Maurice was tougher.
Alright. And that was all. So on SmackDown, we had a really short show. We only had four matches on that one.
Yeah, it just wasn't up to, I don't know, they had more in-between stuff like backstage and stuff like that this week than they did matches. I've seen a lot better SmackDown shows, because I always like SmackDown better than Raw, but this week it didn't do much for me.
Yeah, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Like, it's rare when Raw beats SmackDown in the ratings, but it helps when SmackDown has a halfway decent show, too.
Yeah.
Like, if I went and I bought a ticket, I would want my money back.
If I went the last night, I would have, yeah.
Or not last night, Tuesday.
Well, Tuesday, yeah. I said last night. I meant this.
Yeah, we know
week.
What you said. We know what you said. We have it on tape.
And of course, they were over in London for Raw and SmackDown this week.
They will be for the next couple of weeks, I think.
Well, no, because I think next week they're going to be in Connecticut. It's next week or the week after they're in Connecticut. I don't remember which, but I know it's coming up pretty soon.
Right. So, Becky versus Natalya.
You can handle that one, because I thought it was a good match, but it was more people coming out than actual match. So.
Right. Charlotte came out.
Yeah, sure. Well, when when Charlotte came out, she came out at the end because Becky was there, and of course Naomi was out there with her. And then Natalya had the other three women with her, you know. She had Nia, Carmella, and Carmella's side chick. And they were in her corner, but then all of a sudden Charlotte came out. But then afterwards, Charlotte and Naomi were, you know, arguing with each other and this and that. And Becky came out and said, "We can't do this. We got to stick together because that's what they want us to do. That way they'll have control if we go against each other." So at a Backlash, they're going to have a six-woman tag match they made up. So it's going to be Charlotte and Becky and Naomi against Nia, Carmella, Natalya, and Carmella's side chick.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and go to the second match then. This is actually a pretty interesting match. You had two former brothers in the Wyatt family facing off against each other and seeing who's the better, who's the more dominant brother. Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan.
Yeah, that was actually a good match. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It turned out to be a good one because I wasn't sure how they were going to do that one. Harper's won a few times against Rowan, and then Rowan ended up winning the match, but there was some nice hits and almost pins back and forth. It was really good.
All right. Well, I mean, it always is when you have two people who used to be super close, inches apart from each other, always having each other's back, and then you have someone stab you in the back.
Yeah.
Perfect example. I won't throw out names, but a former friend of mine just stabbed me in the back. And, you know, that makes the best fights, man. You put someone in football pads, man, I'm going to lay you out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It was a good match, though. I mean, Rowan got it went back and forth pretty much. Rowan got in some good shots, and then Harper did. And then Eric took over for a while. And after about halfway through, Rowan pretty much controlled it. Harper got in some shots and stuff and got him on the outside of the ring a few times. But Eric ended up winning it, and he just seemed to have the better he executed his plan better than Harper did.
Well, I mean, that's how you're going to have winners. You have winners, then you have losers, obviously. And when one person wants it more, yeah. Okay, so these two guys are evenly matched.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
They're both huge guys. They're both quick. They're both strong as heck. Not as strong as Cesaro, but they both come out. They both do what they need to do. They get the job done, but somebody's got to come out on top. Nobody's going to be it's not going to happen. It's not going to be, oh, well, both people win, raise up both their arms up. That's not how it works.
Yeah. And they both do have an expensive wardrobe.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, you got the tank top and jeans, man. I don't know how him and Dean afford that, man.
Yeah, that ring attire they wear, that's pretty expensive. you brought up Dean. Ben brought up how he dresses too, how he comes out in his jeans and stuff like that. And Ben talks about how good he dresses and everything. And I said, yeah, but there's a difference between Miz and Dean. Dean can wrestle, Miz can't. I'd rather come out in jeans and be able to win a match than come out something nice and get my butt kicked.
Right, like, there's a huge difference. somebody who used to come out in suits and ties versus somebody who used to who comes out in a jeans and a tank top. We'll go with that.
I'm talking.
That's like someone coming out like Corporate Kane versus Dean Ambrose.
That's like talking about how you come out. I don't know what Mrs. and Maurice's outfits are. I don't know if they're trying to be gothic vampires or what, but her outfit cracks me up. I mean, you got it down to here, you see your stomach, which, you know, oh well. And then she's got like this, it's almost like a cape that goes around her, you know, and then Miz comes out in black, whatever you want to call it, and I don't get the outfits. I don't know. If they're trying to scare you, it's not working too well.
Right. Definitely difference in wardrobe helps. Like you mentioned, the gothic vampires. That was great. But gothic vampires, and then you got people like John Morrison, or no, better example, Rob Van Dam, who used to come out, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but he never wore the same thing.
Yeah.
It was always something different every week.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see, what's he going to do next, or what's he going to wear, because you never know what he's going to do. Like, dude, WWE couldn't script what he was going to do.
Something I liked about Rob, though, is his outfits, how they have the airbrush on them. He has some cool designs on his outfits.
Yeah, he did. They were always different, whether it was one line or whether it was 25 different spots.
He had a couple with his face on them, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And stuff. And those were pretty cool.
Right.
And then if you want to go colorful, you got the Ultimate Warrior, which he came out.
Oh, man.
Looked like a rainbow there. Then
Gay Pride and a wrestler.
Then the last match was pretty good. And it was a 6-man tag match. Had Jinder Mahal with Kevin Owens and Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton. And I was thinking, now this ain't going to work from the start. I mean, half of these guys on the team with each other can't stand each other, so I was sort of wondering how this was going to work out. But I figured it's going to be an interesting match, if anything. So it starts off with Styles and Corbin. Sort of went back and forth for a little while. Then they had some really quick tag-ins because after those two started, they were in there for maybe a minute or so, a couple minutes, and then Sammy and Jinder came in, and he gets a few shots. Then Sammy gets some in. Then Orton comes in. And then Owens came in right after Orton. And, of course, you know, Owens can't come in without giving you a lecture, you know, telling how great he is and everything. So he had to do that for about 30 seconds. And Owens got smacked around. And, of course, after he got dropped on his head a couple times, he rolled out of the ring because he's got to take a break and regroup like he always does. And he yells and whines. Then Styles and Corbin are back in. Corbin puts AJ in the corner, and Jinder comes back in, and Sammy gets nailed because he came in right after Jinder did, and he slammed Sammy into the corner. I mean, when he hit, I know they land certain ways, but the way he hit that ring and it sounded like his back just broke in half. He got slammed good. And him and Owens double team Sammy, but Sammy comes back and Owens gives him a cheap shot. And then Corbin comes back in and throws Sammy outside the ring. I mean, he didn't just toss him. He threw him out of the ring. And Jinder gives him some cheap shots to, you know, to let him know he was there. And Corbin covered him for a two count. Sammy kicked out, of course. And he got a couple of shots back in. Jinder came back in. And, I mean, it's just like I said, it was back and forth forever. But he was wearing Sammy down. Then Owens came in after Sammy was pretty much worn down, you know, because that's when Owens does his best work when he don't have much to do. So Owens covers Sammy after giving him a senton for a two count. Then a little break. And Corbin was back in wearing Sammy down, and then Sammy got out. He finally made a tag. Orton came in, and Orton got a cheap shot. Then Sammy gets a tag to Styles, and AJ gets Corbin the calf crusher. And I think that would have been it because he had that thing locked on. But then after that, Owens breaks it up, and Sammy takes out Owens. Then there's a scrap, all six of them are outside the ring fighting and stuff. And Corbin and AJ get back inside the ring, and Corbin and Styles, covers for a two count, then Jinder is tagged back in for the 10th time at least. And he knees AJ and tags Owens back in and yells more and goes for the senton and doesn't pull it off. He went for the senton, but he raised his knees and he nailed him in the back. And Owens tags Mahal, and as Orton, you know, puts on a power slam to Jinder, and they go back and forth. It lasted for a couple minutes. All six of them got back into it again. And then Jinder blindsides Orton and gets Orton with the Cobra Clutch and slam, and he covered Orton for the win. And, you know, it always cracks me up, though. I mean, you know, in a six-man tag, it's a disqualification. So.
Right. And sometimes they don't even use weapons half the time.
Well, no.
Like in the women's triple threat matches, you know, they're trying to get the women's revolution, but they never use weapons at all. Like, they treat them like women, or they treat them like kids, but they want to be treated like regular superstars.
Yeah, well... And then the thing that cracks me up, though, with Jinder is he always has his two little stooges come in to help him out, which did yesterday. That's how he ended up winning the match because, of course, they came out distracted and interfered like they always do. And if they would ever get banned from ringside, you know, he'd probably lose quite a few more matches.
Right. Okay, guys, so we're going to go on a real quick break. Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope to hear from you guys in the second half of the show.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Welcome back to WWW New Ringside Packer right here on Radio AFS, blogtalkradio.com, right here with Grandpa and the kid. We actually have a special guest calling in. Farmer Jacob, how you doing, man?
Not doing too bad, the kid and Grandpa. What's going on, you know, us West Coast people? It's tough to catch you guys live, so it's I figured I would set the old alarm and check you guys out live instead of doing the whole podcast.
How many hours out there? Three. Okay. So yeah, it's only seven, almost 8 o'clock your time then, ain't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, well,
hey, he said he ought to be up by 8, Ian.
I said he ought to be up by 8, so he made it, yeah.
Well, right, back there in the green room, you're like, you better be up before 8. I'm like, well, hey, I'm up before 8 my time. So, you know, all because it's like 11 o'clock over there on the East Coast. It's, you know, it's a whole different animal being over here versus over there, especially flying.
I used to like when I drove semi because when I went to the West Coast, I made up time because I'd leave from here and I'd get there before I left here sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, especially traveling and, you know, air, you know, flying around and everything else like that. I definitely get that. And I just wanted to call in and you know, welcome you guys to the radio AFS family. And usually I try to do that before you guys have aired here for a couple months now, but just been busy with the network and always trying to make it better for our fans and for our radio personalities. So I want to say definitely keep up the good work, and you guys are awesome.
Well, we know you big guys always got to talk to the big important people, so we know how it is.
Well, you know, truly you guys are the important people to Radio AFS. So.
Well, bud, you have a good day, and we will talk. We'll talk to you later. And if you ever want to call in the show, if you're ever up that early, being you're 3 hours behind, or something you want to talk about, or one of the wrestlers or whatever, just give us a call because that way gives us something more to talk about.
I most definitely. You know, I do have a question for Grandpa. The kid is awesome and everything, but coming from, you know, Grandpa's views of the older wrestling, where you have like Jimmy the Superfly Snuka, the Warrior, Sting before he went retarded in my eyes, Ricky the Dragon Steamboats, and the list could go on and on and on. Do you feel, I want to know how you feel about that wrestling versus this new, where it seems like beer bellies and everything else like that is in versus back in the 80s, 70s, these athletes were actually athletes. And I'm not calling the new wrestlers non-athletes, but they just seem to, you know, only be there for whatever purposes. But what's your take on the old school wrestling versus this new age, what WWE is calling wrestling?
Well, now, you brought up some good ones there because I was always a Sting nut.
Yeah, he was. You should have seen him on Survivor Series a couple years back when he came back. He went through the wall.
I always liked Sting because the way Sting, which they don't do anymore because of what happened to Owen Hart, you know, which was a tragic thing when he fell. But the way Sting used to come in down the wires and stuff, and he always made an entrance that was, you know, really good. And then the Ultimate Warrior, he came out, and I don't know what he was on, but I wanted some of it, man. I got bounced around the ring like he was a rubber ball. You're talking about how some of them nowadays come out with the big beer bellies and stuff. But if you look back now, before the 80s and stuff, now some of them guys came out and they looked like they were impersonating elephants. I mean, some of them were some pretty good sized guys.
Right.
they definitely had some beer drinkers back in the older days. And but Bray Wyatt, I mean, well, Kevin Owens is another one. Now, I don't care for Owens a lot, but him and Bray Wyatt do some moves for a guy their size that just,
oh,
I don't see, because Bray Wyatt, when he does that back bend,
oh, man, that's weird.
I couldn't have done that in my prime back when I was in shape in high school. But, you know, for
right.
a guy his size, the way he bends over just kills me.
You want to bring that up, what about Yokozuna?
Oh, yeah.
Man, talk about a big guy who could do whatever he wants. Yeah, you look at him, man, you think of huge, barely can move, slow. But then you see him get into the ring, and he's one of the best guys that have walked through there with his size. Like, you look at him versus people with the likes of Big Daddy.
Well, and look at Rikishi.
Rikishi, man, he wasn't
that's
big.
Something, that's a butt you definitely didn't want in your face.
Oh,
but,
man, you didn't want that pink face, man.
Oh, that was scary. I seen that coming. I would have just left the arena.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
But I
can definitely tell, you know, I've watched wrestling with my dad when I was a little kid, and it just seems like it was more real back in the 80s and 90s versus what's going on now, you know.
Well,
and it, I'm not saying that the wrestlers now aren't getting hurt like they did back then, you know, because it's definitely a sport, and you have to know what you're doing so you don't actually really, really hurt and or injure your opponent. But it just seems like back when the superstars were, you know, the ones that I named, you know, Four Horsemen, you know, the Steiner brothers, the Road Warriors, you know, and people are listening to my voice, and they're thinking, who the hell is this crazy dude from the West Coast talking about? Definitely research the people that I said, but it just seems I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're putting the full Monty into it versus what those guys did back in, we'll say, the earlys and 90s.
The
80s and 90s.
Now, back in the 80s, if you look, it's like different time periods, because when you mention, like, Sting and the Warrior, I mean, you had big guys back then, because Brendan mentioned one. You had Kevin Nash. You had Sid Vicious. Some of these guys looked like they lived in the gym, man. I mean, they just come out. They were pumped. And I remember Sid and Luger went out at one time, and it's like you were waiting for one of them to get broken in half because they were so big, it didn't look like either one of them was ever going to wear the other one down. It just, you know. And those guys were just, they were enormous.
Right. How do you feel about wrestling looking, I guess you could say, quote unquote, faker than it is?
Well, I think a lot of it, and I know people hate me for saying this, but I think a lot of it has to do with management, because this is one of the very few weeks that I've actually liked Raw better than SmackDown with the matches, because I think
there wasn't nothing in SmackDown to like.
I think that Shane does his show a lot better than Stephanie does. And I know it's all scripted and everything, but I just think Shane has a better concept on what people want to see over Stephanie. Stephanie likes to have more feuds and more stuff like that going on. And I think if she would set her show up like Shane does, like SmackDown, I think it'd run a lot smoother.
You know, Grandpa, I agree. There's, you know, I really wasn't a, you know, a SmackDown fan, I guess. I've always been a Monday Night Raw fan. And I feel, and this is my personal opinion, is that the talent pool on Raw seems to be so much better than on SmackDown.
Yeah, I always thought they had the better choice, too, because I think mainly because Raw was the head show, you know. It was the dominant show, and, you know, it's been around a lot longer. And so I think
we're on, like, episode, like, 1,400, 1,600.
It's past that, because they've been on for over 20 years now.
It's like episode 25 something or other. It's,
well, they would have had the Raw 2000 because they had the Raw 1000.
And I mean, it's been around forever. And I mean, mm-hmm. I know when you got your flagship show like Raw, you want to give the better people on that show, but what that's like when they have these
can't have every single person on it all.
Yeah,
well, that's like having the cruiserweights. You can't have half of the cruiserweights on cruiserweight show, and then just say, okay, we don't like you guys, so go to SmackDown.
Well, that's a question for you there. What do you think about the cruiserweight division being Brendan brought that up? Do you care for that, or do you think it's, you know, should be on its own category? Because when they have the pay-per-views and they have the cruiserweights come out, sometimes I like it, but I don't know. I like the heavyweights better. I like the bigger guys more than I do the real small ones.
I fast forward through the cruiserweights on DVR. I'm like, oh my God, I do not want to watch these guys.
So do we.
We do the same thing.
Well, I sometimes watch them if it's like Rich Swann or what's that other guy's name?
The albino guy with his hammer mustache.
Oh, Luke Gallagher, that's not who I'm talking about. Akari Tozawa or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. I can't pronounce it.
Sounds like a video game system with a last name.
I don't know. It just there's something about that I, you know, I look at cruiserweights and I think of, you know, Eddie Guerrero. I think of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I think of the
they're trying to dig at the past.
They are, and I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, well,
they're trying to dig up the past.
That's what
they're trying to bring back things that are already gone, and you can't do that. You can't remake something that looked that big.
That's why here not too long back they brought Goldberg back, which and I loved it because in the 4 months that Goldberg was back, he represented the title more than Lesnar has in the last 5 years. I just have people say, oh, Lesnar's great. Lesnar to me is a waste. He comes out there once whenever he feels like it. And I'm sorry, but if you're going to hold the title, you got to come out every week. You can't just come out once in a great while and say, well, I'm back for another pay-per-view. It's time, you know. I'm sorry, but Lesnar, if he's going to hold the title, he needs to come out every week, and he needs to, you know, show he's going to fight for it. It just that storyline got old really, really fast. And Goldberg,
yeah, you know, I agree
you know,
with you.
Goldberg came out, and I tell you, Goldberg's spear is just, if he ever hit me with that, I wouldn't get up for about 5 months.
I hear you guys. Well, it's been awesome talking with you guys. I know you're running here on a short show, and I just want to say keep up the awesome work, and we will be tuning in next week, Alpha.
Okay, guys, thanks for giving us a call, and you have a good one, and I guess if you don't have much to do, you go back and get you some sack time there.
You know it, guys. All right, guys, take care.
Okay, you have a good one, buddy.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Okay, so now we're going to talk Macho Man Randy Savage. No, we're not. I'm just kidding. We have 3 minutes left. So we're going to go ahead and do that next week, if that's all right with you guys. Well, you guys don't really have much of a choice, but we don't have much time left. We got to get back into the room. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I have definitely had a great time with this show. I apologize for not being able to talk much. I've had some family issues, and I have not been able to rush on SmackDown. So I'm going off of what Grandpa says and trying to get fed off of him as much as possible. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it.
We will see you next week, and you all have a good week. And try to stay out of trouble. And if you got something to talk about, give us a call.
Well, not now. Next week. But
yeah.
All right. We're going to close out with some music now. Thank you guys for tuning in yet again. Catch us next week, same time, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Sorry, Jacob, for having you wake up so early. But it happens. Life goes on, right? All right. Thanks, guys.